a son in their old age, he just said, "Is there anything too hard for me?" So he made them a promise. And, you know, obviously under the new covenant, we have specific promises or many promises that God makes us. And sometimes they may seem, if it's a promise God made, then nothing is too hard for him. And so I like the word Pela because I use it every day now. I just say, "Lord, Pela, nothing's too hard for you that you've promised." And so we went, you know, I've got that teaching there. I tried to, you know, really talk about it in detail. And there's different ways to look at miracles, okay? And they sometimes just seem vague or so far out of reach that we don't know how to receive a miracle. But there is no question that God works miracles. And it's not really vague. It's just that sometimes we're not expecting to be in touch with the Holy Spirit in those areas. Now I've got two different teachings here, really, and I can't do both of them, obviously. We live in a world that is governed by natural law, and all miracles obviously overcome natural law. And, you know, like Jesus walking on water, and, you know, the Holy Spirit enables us to accomplish things that are impossible. That's what Pela means, to make the impossible wonderful. And so we live in a world governed by natural law. And I don't know if I'm going to talk about that today, but most of the time we have no expectation of anything else. And so I want to talk about miracles in a very practical way to help you understand. One of the realities we all need to discover and fully understand is that all the works Jesus did were done with the idea in mind that they would be reproduced through those who believe in him. That's what he said. That's what he taught. John 14:12. And I realize that I'm going to try in a simple way to help you understand how God works miracles, okay? And John 14:12, he just said, "The works that I do," that's John 14:12. And that's, I know that you were sent up other stuff, but this is from last week. Okay, there we go. "Truly I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father." Now that kind of a statement obviously is true, but it just seems so unrealistic and so far out of reach that that's where it ends with us. We never really think about it in a way that could be the working of the Holy Spirit in and through us. Okay, that's as far as it goes because it just seems too unreal, too unrealistic for something like that to occur. And then I had written down, because I wrote this in August of, I don't even remember. It was, and I've always had a desire and a to know the reality of miracles. And you know, we all have in different ways. And I've seen them. I don't want to live in the past. I walked in things that were absolutely unbelievable. You know, I've seen miracles that were just completely unbelievable. And they were miracles. And how would you expect anyone to believe them? They don't. And so let me just say this, that miracles, I'll bypass the statement where God has a will for man, he has a way, he has he makes us to find a way. And that's why when he makes a promise, the Holy Spirit will enable us to find the reality of receiving that promise. Now, on the one teaching I did here, I have a whole list of things that were miracles that you've already received. If you were redeemed, sometimes you just don't know you received a miracle. You know, that's one aspect of looking at miracles. So I try and bring different aspects to help us understand miracles. And I don't fully understand them. All I know is that I have had a lifetime and so many times, even though I didn't fully understand how they happen, they happen. And, you know, that doesn't give us any real foundation to be able to think that we can really consistently see the working of God in our life in the realm of miracles. You know, and I did on the one teaching, I teach that the world is governed by natural law and that all miracles overcome natural law. Well, that's a miracle. You know, when the sun stands still and we can overcome gravity and those are God at work overcoming natural normal law that we are so accustomed to that we don't expect anything different. And we have no faith for anything different, even though the scriptures are full of examples of people receiving miracles that overcame natural law. One time, the sun stood still, and I have that account, but it would be worth reading the whole thing, where God just let the sun stand still so that they could win a battle. He affected the natural law. So people have, God's people down through the ages have done remarkable things by faith that can't be explained because the natural laws were suspended. The Bible has example after example of that. Okay, so anybody that can't believe that that can happen. So let me just say this, that when Jesus made this statement, I believe that John 14:12, the works that I do shall you do also, but greater works than these. I want to understand it, first of all. Second of all, I want to walk in it, or I want to demonstrate it. Now, let me just say this to you. I want you to think deeply about this. This is a key statement that I am making that is true. Okay, I'm going to make a statement to you. Every miracle has a prior to its fulfillment, has a very, very practical application. Every miracle prior to its fulfillment, prior to its working, has a practical application. It has a practical application. You know, and if we go back to the first miracle that Jesus worked, what was that miracle? It was water being turned into wine. Well, how did that happen? You know, what did Mary tell the servants that were there? Whatever he says, do it. Now, here's the second key. Here's the second key. Whatever he says, do it. Okay. And I can't think of, I could go over, I'd bore you with the times that he said to me, do this. And it, in 100% of the time, it resulted in a miracle. You know, God would speak to me. You know, that's how this little building got built. He would speak to me. And as a result of acting on what he spoke, a miracle occurred. That isn't something just for a special few people. That is for every believer. Here can be maybe a problem. We're not expecting it. We're not listening. We're not hearing what God would say to us. Okay, because we have no real expectancy. You know, to me, one of the most important things, you know, is expecting God to speak and then acting on what he tells us to do. I just want you to think about it. Maybe in your own life, have there been times where he spoke to you and you acted on it and you believed in it and a miracle occurred, or an answer or something occurred because God backed up what he said. Let me ask you a question. Does God back up what he says? Absolutely. And for every one of us, we need to walk in a way where we are listening to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We are not asking him to do our will. We are yielded to his will and purpose. You know, and, you know, like I say, when we were building this church, it was like, This building, it's not a big deal to the world or even to other, you know, and I'm not trying to compare anything. I'm just saying that the first thing he spoke to me about, okay, was to buy this property, number one. Okay. obviously that act of obedience and faith result in this will go on, obviously after I'm dead, but I'm just saying that and we were in situations in our, after God spoke to us to build this building, let me just say that they were circumstances and situations that were completely impossible had God not spoke to us, then they would have never happened. We weren't going to do it on our own. Miracles, of course, occur as you are moving in God's will. You are moving in His will and you are listening to His voice. And you are acting in faith on what He says. Miracles will occur. Every time, 100%. Without a doubt, okay, if that's your lifestyle. Now, if all you're doing is trying to get God to do your will, then nothing really much happens. You got to be willing to act on the word. Now, in John 11, where the first miracle occurred, every characteristic of a miracle in John chapter 2, I'm sorry, verses 1 to, I think, 11. Every character, now I don't want to get into that teaching because it's a whole teaching, but every characteristic of a miracle is in those 11 verses. You can find every principle or characteristic of a miracle in those 11 verses. Okay. On the third day. Well, what's the third day? There was a wedding. See, because the third day speaks of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Well, you're not going to have any miracles unless you're identified with Christ risen from the dead. That's the third day. There was a wedding. You're not going to have any miracles. You might see miracles happen, but for you, if you're not married to Christ, if you're not in a union with Him, okay, then the other point was, then it goes on to say the mother of Jesus was there. Somebody had to be there for God to work through to work a miracle. Somebody had to be there with faith, and it was Mary. And it goes on and on. I can go over every point of that chapter and show you that every prior miracle anywhere in the Bible has those characteristics in it. Now, okay, let's get back to the practical application. Okay. Is your life conditioned to listen and obey? I can remember God speaking to me, and He told me to contact someone. And, I was so preoccupied with this, that, and the other thing that I haven't done it up until now. I believe that God was ready to do something then. And now it's been a year. See what I'm saying? We didn't take it serious. Or we weren't sensitive enough to realize that this was God speaking at that time to work his purpose in that situation. See what I'm saying? We really need to be expecting and sensitive for God to speak, because when we do act on what he speaks, he works through that. He does something. He had a purpose in speaking. He wants to do something. And the miracles are not just for a special few. Yeah, I understand that there's people that have a ministry and they have the gift of the working of miracles, but I'm not talking about that now. I'm talking about you and I on a daily basis learning to realize that God wants to speak to us so that he could work through that. Okay, so it's a very practical thing when Mary said to the disciples, whatever he says, do it. And they were told to fill the water pots with water. A practical application, see? They obeyed what the Holy Spirit said to do, and God worked the miracle. Water was turned into wine. Okay. Practical application. You know, fill the water pots, fill the empty vessels, get empty vessels, not a few, you know, where, and over and over and over, at the point where there was a miracle, God spoke somehow, in some way, through someone that was acted upon, and the miracle occurred. Yes, miracles are a mystery, but they're not a mystery when we understand how God works miracles. And then we expect him to work miracles. Okay. You see what I'm trying to say? It's not out there somewhere. It's with you. It's the Holy Spirit with you. Are you listening to the Holy Spirit? Are you expecting the Holy Spirit to speak? The Holy Spirit is God speaking. When he speaks, things happen. You see what I'm saying? Get a hold of this. This is not something out there where we can't get a tangible identification with it. We're just not expecting. We don't believe. We're not listening. You know, and a lot of times our whole focus is on us. And we kind of, you know, sometimes we live a very self-centered life where it's about us and it's about God doing things for us. Instead of us being yielded and yielding to him to work in and through us. See what I'm saying? You know? And so practical efforts directed by God will always result in miracles. Work through man. Miracles never just happen. They are always the result of one's obedience, which is evidence of his faith. See? You know, you have to have obedience. So you have within your relationship with the Holy Spirit the potential to work miracles. The reason we are not aware of it is because we fail to understand the way that God does things. Okay, and so we see how, you know, that prior to every miracle, there was, you know, like the siege at Samaria, where there were four lepers, or there couldn't have been a more helpless situation. And the was it three lepers or four lepers? I'm not sure. Was there four? Okay. There they are at the gate, and they're ready to die. And I don't think they really realized that Elijah was there. You know, that's why I don't like to tell these stories, because I'd like to go over them in detail. And they just decided, we're going to do the craziest thing. We're going to go towards the enemy's camp. Couldn't have made a worse decision. And they acted in faith to go towards the enemy's camp, and all of a sudden the enemy heard an army coming. It was God, his sound. And when they got to the enemy's camp, they had panicked and they left, and they had all the spoils. It's unbelievable. You see, sometimes it's the direction that you're walking, and it goes beyond human reason or decision. And you know, sometimes God will lead us towards something that completely looks impossible, and we won't act on it. We won't believe it. Okay. You know, that's how what happened with the water of the wine. It's just that, you know, they had to be obedient to Jesus. Whatever he says, do it. Say this with me. Whatever he says, do it. And there are times that he will say something, and of course it means makes no sense whatsoever, and we disregard it completely, because it goes against natural law. See what I'm saying? He'll tell us to do things, and you think, what? What? Why would I do that? You know, and we disregard it because it makes no natural sense whatsoever. I mean, if we need to gain a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, and then when he speaks, it probably many times will not make much sense. At times it won't, because it goes contrary to everything that we understand, and we're a prisoner to the realm of the natural. God hasn't changed here, folks. He hasn't changed. If he tells you to do something that seems completely impossible, it probably is. You know, I mean, he told us to do things that were insane. And you know what? When we obeyed his word, it resulted in his divine intervention and miracles occurred. I don't believe God's done. But he'll tell you to do things that make no sense whatsoever. It's totally against natural reason. Come on. Jesus told the disciples to feed, I don't know how many, we think 5,000 people. Well, how are we going to feed 5,000 people? How are we going to do that? We got 5 loaves and was it 2 fishes? How's that going to happen? You see? We just don't have enough. And yet it resulted in a miracle of divine provision. Well, that doesn't happen anymore. Baloney. It does happen now. I'm sorry I used that word. Well, I didn't want to. It's a kind of a slang. He didn't provide baloney. He provided the loaves and the fishes, but he multiplied. I could tell you personally, and I wouldn't even tell you that some of the things that happened to me because nobody believe it, so I just keep it quiet. People won't believe things until they have proof, but that just means they don't believe. And then after you prove it, they explain it away somehow. Come on. But you see, it's a practical application. It's doing something that you can do to affect only what God can do. See? And the Bible is filled with story, or I don't even like to call them stories. They were true accounts of where God told people to do things that were obviously impossible and ridiculous. See, it's the natural mindset that we're governed by constantly. And we miss out altogether on the working of his mighty power. Okay. Now I'm not gonna go do something that God didn't tell me what to do. That would be foolish. But he's still speaking. I just don't believe that people are really at times listening or expecting God to speak to work through them. But isn't it true that he wants to work through you? It's true. We're just not conditioned for it, and so it seems out of reach or distant. I've seen him one time. I have so many testimonies of God speaking to me and seeing him do miracles. It's just incredible. I'm not the only one, but I'm just saying that I was in a place where this was happening in my life, and I was expecting it. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay, it's no different today than it was yesterday, today, and forever. I'm just trying to help you understand that are we in tune? Are we connected to what God wants to work in and through us? I don't know. You have to answer that for yourself. Okay, because he'll tell you, we, you know, like with the insulation in the building, it was like put up one roll. So we did that in the women's bathroom down there. I could never figure out. I don't know if it was, trying to think of his name. They were here working. But anyway, all I remember is, you know, the first truck backing up and then the second truck backing up. And this foyer out there was full of insulation. It was a miracle. It was, you know, remember the activity center down there, you know, where they're having that church down there now. I don't remember all of it. I just remember that we didn't have what you call money. We had faith. We had guidance. We had, what's the guy's name that, he may be dead and gone now, but he was a contractor. Pumford. So there we are. And somehow we had started, Tony's got a better grasp on it, but we started building that building back there. And you know what happened? You know what happened? Because we acted in faith, and we were in God's will, and we believed God. And Pumford's wife said, now correct me if I'm wrong, she told her husband, build that building. Yeah. Build that building. And I don't remember whether we even invested in any bricks. We did for the garage. Because I know Bob was there. I remember Bob Peterhans. He was working on the roof on that garage. And I don't want to be unrealistic about it. But so anyway, we had $5,000, you know, to lay the foundation of that garage. That's a nice garage. You're going to build a garage like that, you're going to pay some big money right now. That wasn't a little tin shack. That was a brick building. So what we did is, of course, we acted in faith, and we just said, hey, can you afford a brick? We've never tried to take advantage of people monetarily. Never. Not once. We've never tried to, you know, if you can afford a block, and good. If you can't, we're not asking you to do anything. And so we started buying bricks, and then I don't remember the young guy that came off the, that had a settlement. He was off the street. And said, you know, I got a settlement, and I'm going to give the church the settlement, some of the settlement. And we were able to then have the money to finish that building. It was just a... Once you are moving in faith, God will multiply that. But sometimes you just have to start. I mean, if you're just waiting for God to do something, then sometimes you're going to miss out on the potential that you have by doing what you can do. And it's not much. And that's how, you know, we just saw things like this over and over. And don't get me wrong. I mean, God spoke very clearly to me at times. I was really hearing from God. And the result of it was that miracles occurred. We got, it was the same way with the parking lot, everything. Now, had we not burned all bridges to borrowing, which we weren't tempted to borrow at all, God only knows where you'd end up borrowing a bunch of money and then having things go wrong, you know. If you're going to trust people to borrow money, I can only say one thing with people: good luck. So, a lot of people change like the season. They're here today and gone tomorrow, and now you're left holding the debt. But anyway, I don't want to get into all that. But what I'm saying is, let me read it again. Practical efforts, and I'm going to close here in a minute. Practical efforts directed by God will always result in miracles worked through man. Miracles never just happen. They are always the result of one's obedience, which is the evidence, of course, of one's faith. You're acting. You're acting in faith. And, of course, with this little project and stuff, we saw it over and over and over and over again. Personally, I'd never do it any other way. So anyway, it's getting late. I must have got caught in my message. And if I don't know, you know, what I'm going to do next week, I just would talk about natural law and miracles. And, you know, if you don't believe God's going to overcome natural law, then you aren't going to believe for a miracle. Let's just put it this way. You know, let's stand up. See, a lot of times the ball's in your court, and you don't realize it. And you're expecting God to do something, and he's waiting for you to hear from him and do something. And that's why I try and stay in tune with God, you know. So
thank you, Jesus.
I've had some real interesting things happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I won't talk about them right now. But let's raise our hands.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's receive God's guidance. Because you know what? That's a promise for everyone. Not just a special few people. You know, I realize we have different gifts and callings, but his guidance is for you to walk in. Lord, help us understand how practical the working of your power is. And we just thank you. I just thank you for everyone here. I speak recovery from physical ailments, breakthrough in guiding us to receive provision. And we just thank you, Lord, for continuing to show us to work through us in Jesus' name. I can remember you know, the one time there, I had all this wood, and I had it all stacked up, and, you know, I probably had a couple winter supply, and God told me to give it to somebody that had a, and, you know, ever since I've done that, you know, I've watched God provide, you know, but He provides. You should never have to worry, never worry about natural provision. Never worry about that. He just provides. And I found that out. So, and I'm gonna talk about financial miracles too, and I'm gonna show you how in His kingdom, the world can't control. The world causes fear and wants to control everything in your life. I've got teachings on it that I've done, but we're gonna. I might talk about financial miracles next Sunday, and I'm going to show you the simplicity of all of that. Okay.